But actually, I wrote you not to associate with any so-called brother if he should be an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, and all of that. This is what I want to say to you. If you have somebody who is a Christian, claims to be a Christian, and is a chronic liar, stop being his friend. Stop being her friend. Listen, that fellow is going to enjoy you one day. Not because of his own or his or her own wickedness, but because you are disobeying the word of God. Gather some boldness and tell your friend straight, you are a believer, but this your lie is too much. I'm sorry, I can't be your friend. Listen, any Christian that tells lies, don't do business with the person. If you find a lying unbeliever, do business with him. It is safe. It is. I don't have time to go into it. One of the things you can do, that one, you can use police to grab him. If he's a believer and use police, they will say he's your brother. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Yeah. So that's what I mean by it is safe. Not as if it's really very safe. You understand? That's part of what I mean by it is safe. But listen, if a person is a believer, I'm telling you today, you'll be disobeying God if you continue. The blessing of God that's in the blood of Jesus, you guys will be denying it in that business. Listen, he said this is how we celebrate the feast. To make sure that sin, you know, these are basic things that Christians often forget. That sin is still sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? Whether you are born again or not. In fact, as far as God is concerned, it is worse if you are born again. Because if you are an unbeliever, your whole life is a sin. If you sneeze, it's called iniquity. Some of the offerings you give self, if you are an unbeliever, are trouble. Who sent you? But when you are a Christian, you must renounce the things of dishonesty. Your business won't do well in life. Because the blood of Jesus is not being pushed, is not being sprinkled over that business. You understand what I'm saying? People say, this house, we sprinkle the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, say, listen, I was shed and I'm in heaven relaxed. I'm waiting for you people to keep the covenant. It is not what you shout over the house. The blood of Jesus, wait, in this house, if husband goes out in the morning, he deliberately doesn't tell wife here where he's going. When wife spends money, she rearranges the accounts so that Bobo no go vex. The two of them will now join us in the evening. Say, over this house, the blood of Jesus is a lie. You are refusing to celebrate this feast. How are you refusing? Because there is insincerity and lack of truth in the house. Let me say this to you again. You know, Mr. Devil, he doesn't have power. Amen? I've said to you, again and again. If you see devil on the road and you can identify that's devil, and he cocks a gun and aims at you, laugh. That gun doesn't have bullet inside. Or it does not work. And if he fired and a bullet comes out, that bullet is air. Don't dodge. There's no need. So Pastor Man called you me because his name is devil. And you are a child of God. He does not have any power over you. And he knows you are the one that does not know. Which power does he have? We've talked about it before. We have overcome the series. He has, let me not use the word power. These are the techniques he uses. One of them is he tempts. Now that's the one I want to talk about again, briefly. He knows that if I tempt you, and you start walking in insincerity, you start walking in the living of sin, then the blood becomes ineffective over your life because you are not applying it. So Balaam came. He was hired to place a curse on the people of Israel. And he had told them, I can't do it. He told Balak and his people. And when it didn't work, he left. And told Balak, for this amount of money you paid, you should get some service. Come. Can you arrange it? They did some machinations. He said, we can. Organize party. Invite the boys. Give them all the fine girls the way you get. And Jesus said it, that was, he called it the sin that Balaam and, how did he say it? There's a way he said in the Revelations again, just excuse me. That who like Balak, like Balaam, taught the people of Israel how to sin. Let me summarize it like that. That was the only way the devil could enter into the camp. This was a camp, because these things were recorded for our learning. They were types. They had been saved by the Passover lamb. That was why Balaam looked and said, whichever angle you look at it from, look and check it, he looked from different angles. If you look from the angle of ancestral curses, there's nothing you can do. He left that angle. Let's go and look at another angle. I mean, different areas. The fellow is not smart. He looked at it from that area. Look at that angle, there's nothing you can do. He went to another angle. Let me look at this other angle. This man has committed a lot of sins before. It does not work. So he said, there's no enchantment that will work. All these our divinations, they are a waste of time. So let's leave the matter. But if you want it to work again, come. See whether you can drag them out. You know, you've heard the story before. And it's happened to you maybe. When you were a child, you offended the neighborhood bully or one guy bigger than you. So you stood in front of your father's house. You knew your brothers were close by. Dying. And the guy tells you, come now, I'm not coming. You know that if you come, do you understand my point? So you stayed there and say, I'm not coming. Essentially, you are in the area covered by the blood of Jesus. Are you getting my point? But then if the guy wants to get you, well, you go and tell somebody else to come and do the come for you. So somebody say, come. And of course, as a child, what is the come? The guy unwraps one sweet. You want? So you look. Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. You can come and collect. And then you come. Then the guy blocked your way back. And then gives you the pommeling of your life. Are you getting my point? That is what the devil was doing to the people of Israel. Through Balaam. And Balaam just to Balak. Entice the people to sin. That wipes away the effect of that blood in their lives. Let me say it to us again as Christians. Iniquity is not our portion. That here, amen. Amen. It is not. Sin, lying, all kinds of insincerities, they are the ways. You know, I said earlier, we have to build a connection. God has taught this thing in heaven. Heaven does not mean you die before you get it. It means it cannot be touched. It is incorruptible. The value doesn't go down. It doesn't. All right? If we want it, there is a way we connect with it. And one of the things that prevents the wires from working, that is a connection wire, is sin. And I'm sorry, if you are the pastor of a church, you must preach this to your members. You must. Tell them stop telling lies. Stop going to bed with a woman that's not your wife. Say it straight the way it is. Stop. Stop cheating. You know, some people are deliberate at cheating people. You know, my wife does business, so I understand. The fellow knows he can't pay. And he buys it. And he knows he can't pay. That's stealing. He's stealing. I hope you know. Listen. All the stories you tell yourself. And I was going to your house to give you the money. On the road, I just saw somebody who was broke. I just helped the fellow. I tried to sound Christian. You're a thief all the same. You know, it's sad that one major, and listen, money is a very important thing in life. So be careful that in the area of money, you are a man of integrity. The only reason Judas was the one that betrayed Jesus was because he was a thief. Listen, I said to you before, and I say it again. The good Lord, with all the power he has, could not have made Peter betray Jesus Christ. He said, he's sovereign. Sovereignty and lawlessness are two different things. People think sovereignty means lawlessness. Sovereignty and lawlessness are two different things. Sovereignty is, I have put the laws in there. I am the one that writes the laws. That's sovereignty.
Lawlessness that I do anything I like. God, who is sovereign, has put some things in place. He said, if any man purges himself of these things, he will be a vessel unto honor, made ready for the master's use. The one who does not purge himself of those things is the one that's a vessel unto dishonor. So what happened to Judas? Jesus said, I have chosen you 12. But one of you is what? A devil. And how he knew, the manifestation of devilishness in his life was that he was the one that used to, you know, offering money to the complete. You know, people say, no, they fear. You know, they don't, they fear. You go to church. If you want to steal, stay on the road now. You understand my point? Snatch somebody's bag and run. I'm not trying to teach you stealing. No. I'm just saying that these are safer things to steal. Some people now go to church. People go down, Abraham's blessings are mine. They sow a seed unto the Lord. That's the one you want to steal. You don't fear God. No. You know, some people are begging for judgment. Just like, God, is it true you can punish people? Punish me first, me, I see. They just stand like this. There's this, let me tell you a story to make you laugh. Some thieves will repent, amen? They will, let me tell you my reason. There was one lady, worked for my chief when I was in Lagos. So one day they paid her a salary, and she's a tither. So she took a part of the tithe, put an envelope, and the rest of the money was inside the bag. So she went to the office, then she looked, then the bag vanished. Ah, I kept this bag here. Checked everywhere, the bag was gone. Let's make a long story short. One thief, I don't know how the guy managed, he looked in, quickly dashed in, picked the bag, and missed. So after a while, the lady was wondering, God, dude, this is my money. What happened to this bag? Why people were still wondering what was happening? They saw one young man enter the place, he opened the bag and saw the tight envelope. So he brought the tight and came to return down. That guy is close to repentance. He didn't come to return the whole money. He just removed that envelope. Say, this one is God's own. So the guy came. It was very, very funny. So that's when they caught him. Don't worry, they were going to injure him, but God said, this guy still fear God small. You will have mercy on him. I hope after that day he will repent. Why I said that guy is close to repentance is that when he saw the one that's God's portion, the guy looks at, nah, I beg, this job, one will soon die. He took God's own and said, I beg, take your thing back. But the rest, I am the king of Sodom. I'm collecting the every other part. Now, I think that's a thief that's, like Jesus said, is not far from the kingdom. No. He has to repent fully. You understand my point? Some of those things is pure idolatry, all right? But some people don't even have any idolatry in their heart. They don't even fear idols self. Those ones go destroy plenty. That is God. You want to steal. I beg, go to the market now. Pick something there. Don't do it too. I'm just saying that if you have to steal. But we now go to inside church. We now join those who are counting church money. When the Archbishop mentioned that was that those days when 20 naira was like the 5,000 naira that they are trying to print now. After church service, they counted money. Say, how much is the offering? He checked. Everything was less than 20 naira total. He said, nobody, lock that door. Nobody's leaving this church today. And amongst his workers, that listen, I gave a 20 naira. Where is it? That yes, I know the money, but I, as the pastor of the church, my offering today was one single 20 naira note. Where is it? That's Archbishop Benson down, sir. All of you are not going anywhere. And they ransack everybody. Find the Broadway, don't peel fat. That the guy don't divert the money. That was the real Judas in ministry. Anyway, this is the point. There are things that Christians shouldn't do. When they do them, the blood of Jesus becomes ineffective in their lives. That's what I'm saying. That was what he meant when he said, when it comes to keeping the covenant, keeping the Passover, he said, you will eat it with unleavened bread. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. Next one, he said, you will eat it with bitter herbs. I meditated about it. I read somewhere, some woman said that it's a sign of their sufferings that they had in Egypt. That's true. I think there's some truth to that. But I think it's more than that, especially for us as Christians. What he was saying is this. You know, I told you that day I watched Ravi Zacharias on TV. And Ravi Zacharias said that what you win people with is what you win them to. What you win them with is what you win them to. And I believe that one of the problems we have today in Christianity is that we actually win people with all God does is solve problems. He doesn't make demands. Life is sweet, sweet after now. Why you have not gotten a job is because you have not given your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ today, and the job will be yours tomorrow. You understand? Everything is God solves problems. If it is hard, it's not God, it's the devil. If it is sweet, it is God. All the things of God are sweet. And people become Christians and they realize that life is not exactly like that. And then they begin to backslide. It's not their fault alone. It is those of us who are preaching sometimes we tell them things that are not true. God said, eat it with bitter herbs. Let me tell you the truth. There are experiences in Christianity that will be bitter. That's my own interpretation of it. There will be. All things work together for good. Amen? It's just the taste we are talking about. The things of God are always good. If you realize that God is the standard of good, everything about him is good, except that it does not always taste sweet. It just struck me now that the Bible didn't call him a sweet God. He's a good God. Am I right? I think so. It just struck me now. That is not a sweet God. He's what? A good God. If you have malaria, have you ever tasted chloroquine? The days that chloroquine was being used to treat malaria. Chloroquine is not sweet. It is not sweet. One of the most bitter things that the good Lord put on the surface of the earth. I guess for those of us preachers to be able to preach effectively. Because it is not sweet. But people used to swallow it. If they need to do, if they have to wrap it in something, they will. But that, whatever you have to do, you will swallow it. Why? Because as bitter as it is still the cure to your malady. You get what I'm saying? The problem in your life, that's still the cure. And listen, I believe that a lot of things we have to obey in Christianity, that's how they are bitter. And I think part of celebrating the Passover of God is to learn to swallow the bitter pills that God will give to us. He said, eat it with bitter leaves, bitter herbs. One sister wrote, one of our very dear sisters, my alumni fellowship member, Lukav. After the book, when I was realizing the book, should I say yes? After some time, she wrote me a mail and said, this book has been a wonderful blessing to her as an individual. He said, but in all honesty, some things are very hard to swallow. They are very bitter to chew. I think she used the word bitter. But she also added that, but that's the word of God. We have to do what we can. Another person, you know this interesting part. If you tell a man, this actually happened. Somebody sent us a mail when the book was coming out. Because I sent a chapter out. The one that I said, to love and cherish your wife. You understand? If you've read the book, you remember. But if you haven't read that portion again. And I described what it means for a man to love and to cherish his wife. And I said many things. The seats are not enough. Your wife is standing. And you as a man, you are sitting. You know, I believe a man is the head of the home. and I believe he should behave as such. I know I told you that a man is not allowed to be so soft anyhow. You know me, I said so. I say it now. But what I mean is that, please, in case you are not getting me clear, what I simply mean is that if this is the way forward, crying shouldn't make you go the way backward. As your wife is crying, you don't love me. You don't love me. Say, honey, I love you. Carry on the shoulder and go in the right direction. don't carry me. Don't even touch me. Keep on going. He said, listen, my girl, I love with all my heart, but I'm not going to miss the purpose of God because of you. Now Adam do, now we did this mess. So I beg, don't let's repeat it. With all your love, you understand? You say that. So you know me. But I wrote that chapter and say a man should cherish his wife. And I said things like, because some people now think that, yes, it means I'm a hard man. I didn't say so. What I said simply in that particular chapter, just so people understand the balance in my life. I said, how can you be in a place? And I told the story of how we went somewhere and a friend's wife was standing. And he and I were just, and they were sitting down, relaxed, and the woman was looking for where to sit. And I was uncomfortable. And I say it again with pride. This, my wife, would not have hesitated. She'll have just come. Says, husband, I want to sit. Nicely, I would have gotten up, given her the seat, and continued. I say, nothing happened. Some people think it means you are, no. That's what it means to be a man. It means I can stand while my wife sits. I also added, I said, how can you imagine a man with a drive sharp car? His wife's car will be breaking down all the time. That's the one that vexed the man. Apparently, he has a sharp car and his wife's car breaks down all the time, something like that. Now abuse the guy, abuse me. He sent us a mail. Of course, I know they reply mails like that because it's not a big deal. I mean, they told Jesus that he had the demon. So if you tell me that I increased for him, that's the smallest of insults. Is that not so? What was his issue? He's like explaining here and there. What do I mean? Am I saying? He began to say things I did not even know. I wasn't talking to him. Was I talking to him? I wrote a book. I read the mail. I wrote a book telling everybody how to love and cherish their wives. If your wife's car is not air-conditioned, yours is air-conditioned. Switch the car until you can have the other one air-conditioned. It's simple. It's a simple principle. I didn't say if your car, you use it to carry instruments, you now say, okay, I'll carry it on my head. Did I say so? No, people just want to read things off the point. But the point I'm making is this. An African man, one man sent a mail from somewhere in the West. He said, Pastor Banky, please, oh, be saying this thing small. Oh, that if you continue like this, these women will read it up. But when I send out the chapter on husbands, submit or respect your husbands. Preach it, preacher. You are the man. This is what these women need to hear. When I put the other side like this, people they vex. I said, the one man wrote us a mail. That Pastor Banky, God is my word. These were his words. He said, you are beginning to sound strange these days. Those were his words. That you are beginning to sound strange. They are preaching this thing small. Otherwise, women will hear this thing now. And that is, Omo, wahala, don't deal with that. What am I talking about? The fact that, number one, we eat the whole lamb, and then we eat it with what? Bitter herbs. It does not feel nice to you. You have to obey it. One brother saw me today, wanted to, but we're in a hurry. Like I told you, we just had to make it down quickly. I would have talked with him a bit. He said he felt the Lord was asking him to do something, and that was precisely what he did not want to do. It took him a while. He finally made up his mind. That's what he's going to do. The Lord Jesus, in fact, this is the best example. The Lord Jesus was going to the cross. The beating that you saw Mel Gibson give him in The Passion of the Christ was not a lie. What makes it worse was that he knew ahead of time it would be like that. So, you know, if you don't know wahala with their head, you just move on. And when the thing comes on you, it has come now. But this one, he was warned. He knew ahead. In fact, he was warning his disciples that this is the very thing that is going to happen. It was very painful. And the time came, he knelt down and cried. You see, it was bitter. Father, should I say, deliver me from this hour? No, he said that in John chapter 12. He said, but for this cause I came to this hour. But when he went to the garden, he said, if there is another way, please let this cup pass over me. Nevertheless, I have to eat this with bitter herbs. If it is your will, let it be done. What am I saying? You will make choices in life that will make you lose money. It is still the will of God. Having done the right thing doesn't mean it always makes money. That's why I say we don't judge our lives by experiences. We judge them, first of all, by the things that are written. I remember those, in fact, yesterday evening, because I stayed over in my parents-in-law's place. So at night, I was just staying with my parents-in-law, Yinka and I. So we said many things. We're now remembering those days when I was in Lagos. And the way most clinics in Lagos, the way they made money, was that they cheated, they lied, and even Christians did it. A man is not sick, he comes to you, says he needs money. Are you getting me? The doctor will give him money. Then they will write a bill that he was sick and send to his office. For government side, NEPA and NITEL were the problem cases. They were the only ones that used to pay money anyway. For private side, my colleagues ripped off the banks. They did. In fact, I shared a story again yesterday in which, as a consequence of our actions, a woman died. The brother or the brother-in-law, or the cousin-in-law, anyway, the family member who used to use our clinic, he had bled his company of money heavy by this medical mago. By the time his sister needed the assistance, he said there was no way he could have this thing done. Unfortunately, by that time, we had ruptured her membranes in my clinic. My guys will be small boy, no be me. So they said, okay, the only thing they can do is to send her to the general hospital, because the man said, if you operate her, I'm not going to pay, essentially. Because we had already overrun this bill, man. So they sent her to the general hospital. She had no money to pay. She got infected and she died. Wickedness. This is what I'm making. Those who refused to do it that time, this is what I'm saying. Those who refused were the ones that didn't get money. Obeying the word of God was costing them on a daily basis. I got fired because I refused to date pregnancies for the clinic where I was working first, so the man could have bought them. I got fired. He said, the girls will come and say something throw away. I said, go find her somewhere else. So the man got angry with me. That's not asking me to do the termination of pregnancies. All he just saying I should date it so he can price it very well. That guy was cheap, man. You understand? If it's 6 weeks, this is the price. If it's 10 weeks, this is the price. I'm not joking, you know. So my duty as a young doctor is just tell me the date. Then I, as a senior guy, will put a price on it. Then we'll get money. So I told him simply, sir, the person will carry, there's a proverb in my place, the person that stole the oil in the market and the person that helped him carry it, in the law, it's called conspiracy to commit. On the spot, I was fired. That's it. Bitter herbs. The job you have prayed for all your life, you finally got it. They said, to sustain it, you compromise something. You say no, listen to me. One day, they are going to fire you. Don't think that, in the name of Jesus, I have spoken about. Listen, you will see next day, the MD will go fatter instead of die. You thought he would just die because he offended you. Forget. He will show up next day fatter than before. It's called temptation. It is you that's been tempted. God doesn't care about him. You know what I'm saying? In quotes now. It's not him. If he's a sinner set for destruction, he's going to be destroyed one day. He has been left there to tempt people like you.